You're listening to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis of Calvary Chapel San Clemente. On today's edition,
they're going to be tested as gold, refined in the fire. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Expect it. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And greater is He that is in you. And you know what you have that the world doesn't have? You have hope. You have confidence. You have security because you know that you're going to be taken through, not taken down. And you can count on that.
It's all about focus. Today, Pastor Holland takes a look at what's going on in the world and how it all fits into what the Bible says will happen as the return of Jesus draws near. You'll be reminded that this world is a broken place. You should expect hardship and trials, but this doesn't have to take you down. Because of your relationship with Jesus, you don't have to worry. You can have hope because He is real and He is near to you. Jesus has your back and will walk you through whatever comes. Let's join Pastor Holland for this Prophecy Update edition of Worship Life Radio.
This is the month of Purim. This is the month of Purim. What is the month of Purim about? It's about the story of Esther, right? What happened with Esther? God used one Jew to deliver a nation during the month of Purim. One Jew to deliver a nation. What is happening in Ukraine right now? God is using one Jew to deliver a nation. Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about this for a minute. God wasn't up there thinking, oh my goodness, I couldn't have planned this better myself. This is unbelievable how it just all lines up in my world. No, He's intentional. He is trying to communicate to the world right now. Not just to the Jews, he's communicating to the Jews and the Gentiles, to everyone. And what he's saying is, listen, things are shifting in our society right now. God has been working through the church, but now God is beginning to turn His attention to the Jews. And what does that mean? That means we're done. That means we get to go. Our job is just about finished. That's what it means. And so through the war in Ukraine, we see God using the natural things we see, a Jew, to deliver a nation, but also to communicate to the world that the return of Jesus Christ is soon, very soon. After the rapture of the church, the world is going to go into crisis. Now, if the Pew Research Center is right, 70% of all Americans will be raptured. That's if they're right. I don't think they're right. Because we don't act like a Christian nation. But 70% of all Americans will be raptured. And that alone is going to cause a global crisis. I mean, look at the global crisis that's happening in Ukraine right now, and it's affecting the whole world. Imagine what is going to happen when 70% of Americans disappear. And I believe that this will catalyze a chain of events that will lead to potentially the European Union and the United Nations Security Council merging as one body. And so what would happen when that happens? You would have five kings that would fail. You would have one who is the president of the European Union. And then the eighth one that would emerge from that, the Antichrist, who already is in the mix. He's already there. He just hasn't been revealed. Now, so you can see how prophecy can be fulfilled in a very short period of time. Now, at best, we can only speculate. This is all speculation. Because the good news is that you and I are not going to be here when the Antichrist is revealed. We're not going to be on the planet. We're not going to have to deal with the mark of the beast. You know, people were freaking out about the vaccine. Oh, it's the mark. Don't take the mark. I talked to somebody. I'm not taking the mark. This is not the mark. The vaccine is not the mark. It is setting the way up for the mark. It is setting the mechanism in place, but it is not the mark of the beast. And we as believers aren't going to have to deal with that. Aren't you happy? I'm happy because I wasn't going to get a vaccine anyhow. So it's like, just because I just don't do it. I mean, you can do what the Lord leads you to do, but I just have never gotten one because every time I get one, I get sick, and I didn't want to get this sickness. So all we can do is speculate about what is going to happen. Now, one thing is for certain, the Bible talks about a final battle. And we see this, a shadow, a type of this in 2 Samuel 18, verse 6. And it says that the people went into the field of battle, and it was one final time between Absalom and David. And there's going to be a final battle that takes place when Jesus, who is the son of David, comes into the field of Israel and defeats the Antichrist. And this battle is referred to as the Battle of Armageddon. And it will happen in five stages. Now, the word Armageddon comes from the Hebrew Har Megiddo, which Har means mount, and Megiddo is Megiddo. You know, it's the name of the place. I thought about, my name is Holland Mount Davis, so imagine Holland Har Davis. That would not work. But Har Megiddo, Mount Megiddo. So stage one is going to occur when the armies of the Antichrist assemble for war at Mount Megiddo, at Har Megiddo. And this will occur in what is known today as the Jezreel Valley. But the Bible refers to the Jezreel Valley as Armageddon. In Revelation 16:16, it says, "And they gathered together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon," which is Har Megiddo. It's a big area. When you see it in person, it's stunning how big it is. Napoleon said, of all places on the planet to fight a war, this is the best place. Because everybody has room to breathe, you know, as they're destroying one another. So he was into war. But one of the allies of the Antichrist will be the kings of the East. And the kings of the East refer to China. I believe today it would refer to North Korea. And because it's in the plural, it's not in the singular. And so they're going to march from the East all the way across to the Jezreel Valley. There's only one thing in the way. The Euphrates River. It's kind of a big thing. It's like trying to cross the Mississippi River. And so Revelation 16:12 says that the waters of the Euphrates are going to dry up to that, so that the king, way of the kings from the east might be prepared. Now, it's interesting to note that since 2007, there's been a major drought in the region of the Euphrates that has practically dried the river up. It's normally packed with water all the way across. It's this massive river. And so now it's almost dried up. So you could see how when the troops from China come across, they're not going to have to figure out how to get across water. They're going to go across dry land. Now, as I've said many times before, and it's just something you have to keep in your mind, prophecy doesn't happen overnight. There's always a preparation. You begin to see things come into play. We call those signs. When we see those signs come quicker and quicker in frequency, then it tells us that we're getting closer to the time that the prophecy is going to be fulfilled. And so the fact that the Euphrates River is in the process of being dried up from a drought, that's a major sign, wouldn't you say? That's a major sign of what is about to come. Revelation 9:6 says that China will send 200 million troops to the Jezreel Valley, and when they reach the Euphrates River will be dried up completely. And we see that being fulfilled right now. The second stage of this battle is Jerusalem will be captured. In Zechariah 14:2, it says, "For I will gather the nations to battle against Jerusalem, The cities shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. And so the forces of the Antichrist will gather in the Jezreel Valley, and then they will march from the Jezreel Valley, from Har Megiddo to Jerusalem. And that pathway is 76 miles. We'll actually look at the road that they'll be walking on. In fact, we'll drive on that road when we go from Megiddo to back to Jerusalem. And so you'll see the path, you know, as you're driving. You can imagine 200 million soldiers walking this road. You know, we saw the 40 miles worth of the Russian convoy, right, in Ukraine and all the pictures. Imagine 76 miles of military convoys going to attack Israel. It's going to be unbelievable. And then the third stage of the Armageddon war will be the Antichrist will begin a final Holocaust, a final attempt to wipe out the nation of Israel. You know, as I said before, what we're seeing in Ukraine is really the destruction of God's people. That's really what's behind it. That's really what's motivated. It's not economic at all. It makes no sense at all. Why go against the tide of public opinion? Because there is an agenda, a demonic agenda, to destroy the people of God. Over 70% of the Ukrainian people are practicing believers. They practice their faith. That's why so many of them were praying in the streets.
Worship Life Radio with Holland Davis will continue right after this.
Hi, this is Holland Davis, and I'm the pastor of Calvary Chapel in San Clemente. And I just want to take a moment and invite you to come and visit us at one of our Sunday morning services or to our midweek Bible study. Calvary Chapel San Clemente is a Jesus people community right here in the city of San Clemente, California. You know, we identify with our roots in the Jesus movement because that's where I came to Christ. And of course, that's where Calvary Chapel was born. When you come to our church, you're going to find a church that loves to worship the Lord with song. We love to study God's word verse by verse. And we love to share the love of God with other people. If that's the kind of church you're looking for, consider visiting us. You can find out all about us online at calvarysanclemente.org. We look forward to worshiping with you soon, and may God richly bless you.
Now, let's continue with today's edition of Worship Life Radio.
And so they're going to be seeking to wipe out the Jewish people once and for all. In Zechariah 13, verse 8, it says, "And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, 'This is my people,' and each one will say, 'The Lord is my God.'" Two-thirds are going to die, one-third are going to go through the fire and be refined as silver. Now, wait a minute, Lord. This isn't my best day in you. This isn't my best day with Jesus. You know, I thought when I come to Christ, it's no problems. Like, I thought this is supposed to be all done. Like, I thought that, you know, it's my days of blessing and double blessing and triple blessing and quadruple blessing are ahead of me. Right? I hate this verse. It's like, wow, they're going to be tested as gold, refined in the fire. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Expect it. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And greater is he that is in you. And you know what you have that the world doesn't have? You have hope. You have confidence. You have security because you know that you're going to be taken through, not taken down. And you can count on that. And so the two-thirds of the population will die. Israel will cry out to the Lord, and when they do, God will answer them. God will hear their cry. And that brings us to the fourth stage of this final battle, and that is that Jesus, the Messiah, will return. In Revelation 19:11 says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except God himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." And every time I read this, I like to remind us, you need to go get your pony lessons, because we don't want to put you in the back of the line, because you're embarrassing us because you're falling off your horse. So you got to learn how to ride. And Brandon gave me a little tip. You got to kiss him and kick him, is what he said when you get on that horse. And so that's just passing that along. I don't know if it's true. I haven't experienced it myself, but get your riding lessons in now. Now, I want you to understand something. In Matthew 24:26, it says that Jesus is going to come from the direction of the east. The direction of the east is where Mount Olives is today. So he's coming from the direction of Mount Olives. Now, why is that such an important thing to think about? Because when Jesus came to Jerusalem as the king the first time, where did he come from? The Mount of Olives. He came from the Mount of Olives riding on a donkey. And kings of the East, when they would come into a city riding on a donkey, it meant that they were coming in peace. They were coming as a messenger of peace. And so the first time that Jesus entered into Jerusalem, he came bringing the message of peace, peace with God. But the next time Jesus comes, he's coming on a war stallion, on a war horse, in full battle gear, and he's coming from the same direction, from the Mount of Olives. See, God, again, God doesn't just throw these things in here. They're all communicating something. And when he appears, they're going to look at him and they're going to recognize him. They're going to go, "Oh my goodness, last time you came on a donkey, we didn't know who you were, but now we know who you are." And all of Israel will recognize that he is the Messiah. And in Zechariah 12, it says, "And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. And in that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem like the mourning at Hadad Rimon in the plain of Megiddo." And so they're going to see Jesus and they're going to repent. They're going to realize that he all along was the Messiah. And I believe that this is going to take place on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the National Day of Atonement. This is one of the fall feasts that have yet to be fulfilled. I believe that the rapture will occur on Rosh Hashanah. Again, the fall feast, the Feast of Trumpets. And so, I don't know which one, but every time we start getting around that year, I get excited. Because this could be the year that Messiah comes, Jesus returns. And when Israel sees Jesus, God will say, "This is my people," and Israel will say, "The Lord is my God." And then the fifth stage of this battle is that the battle itself takes place. In Joel 3, verse 2, we read about it. It says, "I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land." Now, one of the things I was someone contacted me this week and basically was telling me how Israel are the occupiers of the land, which tells me they're probably Palestinian. They've occupied the land. They don't have rights to the land. You know, God didn't give them a land. You know, it was demonic and satanic, and they took the land illegally. The truth is, in Genesis 15, God made an everlasting covenant with Abraham, and he gave the land to Abraham as an inheritance. And so when Israel is in the world today, they're not in the world as occupiers. They're in Israel as beneficiaries of an inheritance that they've been given, right? Why should I care about that? Because let me give you the Gentile thing now. You have been given an inheritance in the kingdom of God by grace. And you're not just occupying a seat in the church. You're not just occupying your place in the body of Christ. You're a beneficiary of what God has done for you at the cross of Jesus Christ, where his grace has been poured up upon you. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the power that is upon you is life-changing, life-transforming power. And it has the power to change the world. Yeah. Now, notice where it will take place. This is going to take place in the valley of Jehoshaphat, also known as the Kidron Valley. And it's in this location. I mean, I can't even imagine 200 million soldiers trying to fill up this area. But this is where it's going to take place. It's here that the Antichrist will be defeated. And in Revelation 19:19, it says, "And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse," that's Jesus, "and against his army," that's us. "Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet." The false prophet is the leader of the one world religion, "who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh." Now, there are several similarities between the battle in 2 Samuel 18, the final battle between Absalom and David, and this final battle that's going to take between the son of David, Jesus, and the Antichrist. And the first thing is that the Antichrist forces will be defeated. They will be defeated. In 2 Samuel 18:7, it says the forces of Absalom, the anti-king, were overthrown before the servants of David. Friends, we want you to know how special you are to us, but more importantly, we want you to know how special you are to God. God loves you, and he gave everything for you so that you could have eternal life. His son Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven and you could know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven. Why don't you pray this simple prayer, mean it with all your heart, and make that decision to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to say, "Jesus, I surrender to you. Forgive me for living my life without you. I don't want to live without you anymore. I want to live for you. Forgive me for breaking your law, and fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live for you all the days of my life." And if you pray that prayer, you can have the assurance that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. And I look forward to spending that eternity with you.
You've been listening to Worship Life Radio with Pastor Holland Davis. As we wrap up today's message, we want to give you the opportunity to partner with us in ministry. This radio broadcast is, in a way, a virtual mission field. We're praying that every time a message is shared, someone's heart is drawn to Jesus. We pray for grace to be known and for lives to be changed. Would you join us in lifting up your fellow listeners to the Lord? Ask God to protect them and draw them closer with each moment they listen. There's one more way you can partner with us too. Would you prayerfully consider financially supporting Worship Life Radio? Every amount given, no matter the size, will be used to spread the gospel message, and we're so grateful for it. You can find out more and donate securely online at calvarysanclemente.org. Just click on Give. Thanks for partnering with us here at Worship Life Radio. Do you live in the San Clemente area? If so, we'd love to have you join us for worship at Calvary Chapel San Clemente. We meet every Sunday at 8 and 10 a.m., and we have a Bible study on Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. that you're welcome to be a part of, too. Come for a time of singing praises, learning from the Bible, and being with your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you can't come in person just yet, that's okay. You can still be a part of our church online through our website. Find out more at calvarysanclemente.org. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to join us next time for another edition of Worship Life Radio.
Every one of us is on a journey of grace. God wants you to be free and full of joy. Pastor Holland's message series, A Journey of Grace, will help you discover how to live the abundant life that Jesus promises to give you today. Order your personal copy of A Journey of Grace at worshipliferadio.com.